Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. So welcome all of you, those here in the room and those out there on internet land. We're so glad you're with us, and we're so glad you're watching us if you're not actually with us at this time today. So thank you for being here. You know, that sitting on a gold mine idea, I like it. It's a great one. The gold mine we're sitting on is in our own consciousness, our own brains. Here's the thing, though. As with any gold mine, you got to go dig it out. You got to go get it. And my intention with our broadcasts, with our celebrations, with our services, is to give you tools and abilities to dive in, dig in, and get to the gold that's within each of us, the gold that allows us and enables us to be the people we desire to be and to take what we already are and expand it even more. So I trust you've been enjoying your gold mine this month, and we'll move on to a new song next month. So we are a community that absolutely welcomes and honors every being, every person, no matter who you are, how young, how old, what your pronouns are, what your thoughts are about pronouns, all of those things that are going on in our world right now that are so up in the air and controversial. Wherever you stand with any of those controversies, you're welcome. And we honor you, and we welcome you, and we welcome your participation here with us. So I'm looking forward to see more of you here in person and letting you know that we're right here every Sunday at the Garden Hills Recreation Center in the edge of Buckhead, almost Midtown, at the edge of Buckhead. So welcome and be with us. To know more about us and know more of what we believe and to reaffirm what we believe for those of us who already have this information, let's watch as our practitioners share with us what it is, along with some board members. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Who is well trained in this teaching and the principles of new thought and science of mind. They're well trained in using him for themselves as well as other people. And therefore, we license them to do just that, those who have shown and proven and demonstrated that ability. So today, one of our practitioners is going to share with us a few words and an affirmative prayer or a spiritual mind treatment. Barbara Guillory, take it away.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I enjoyed that song as well, Dr. Bob. We are sitting on a pot of gold. So, and again, welcome to everybody. And yes, it is a good morning. Our focus today is on the thought, idea, concept of freedom. So anytime that I'm pondering or there's a puzzle, I start with a question. My question this morning, how do we obtain freedom? Freedom for us, each one of us, is just going to be different. We all get to define what that freedom is for us. Some of us may want to be free from fear, as it was said in the song. Some of us may just want to be free from our debts, from our bills. Some of us may want to be free from our aches and our pains. Maybe it's a backache. Maybe it's a stomach ache. Maybe we just want to be free from illness, free from sickness. Or if you're a student, you might just want to be free from school or free from homework. So we all get to define for ourselves what that thought of freedom is. As most of you know, I was raised in the Catholic teaching, in the Catholic doctrine, if you will. And that is a good religion, not to say it's good or bad, but in that teaching, they teach us how to suffer, how to get our rewards in heaven, how basically just to be a victim in life. So I'm pretty good at this time in the teaching because that's all I know. I went to Catholic school, so that was the indoctrination for me, for my life, for the basis, the foundation in which I experienced life. My sister sent me the Science of Mind daily reading, and that is where it all changed for me. I began coming, at the time it was Science of Mind, I was coming to the Science of Mind gatherings, and the classes, guys, were just fantastic. Their teaching simply was, I am responsible for whatever the experience that I am having. And I'm here to tell you, if I went into the grocery store, I was a victim. If I went to the park, I was a victim. If somebody said good morning, I'm a victim. So this is my perception of myself and how I experience life. And through this teaching, the Science of Mind teaching, I learned that I am the one accountable and responsible for the thoughts about myself, no one else. And I can tell you guys, that has been a huge experience of freedom in my life. And I don't know of anything that even comes close. It has given me freedom to, again, going back to the song, to know and understand something better about myself, something greater about myself, something that's beyond who I am. So for me, as the Science of Mind says, change your thinking, change your life, that I was able to do. And I surmise that since we live in a thought world, and it is by the choice of thoughts, we bring harm onto ourselves, we bring injury onto ourselves, we bring the victim mindset onto ourselves, then it is only logical that our healing lies in the thought world as well. And for that, it is simply making the choice of freedom to be the experience that you want for yourself today. So I would like to bring all the focus right now into this present moment, into this wonderful moment, to this beautiful moment. And together, I'm going to speak in the first person, but together we will experience the thought of freedom. It is there for us simply by invoking the thought of freedom. We create the experience of freedom. And as we know the universe to be, I am the magnificent. I am the wholeness. There can only be the oneness. There can only be freedom that exists. It is this wonderful, beautiful manifestation of the magnificent that I am part of, that I am manifested, that I am made into existence. And as the wonderful, beautiful universe unfolds itself, I can sense the wonderful thought of freedom in and of itself. And as the universe, as the magnificent, as the oneness expresses itself freely in freedom, I too am expressing myself freely in freedom. It is this wonderful thought of knowing the workings, the unfolding of this wonderful, magnificent system. As a co-creator with spirit, as a co-creator with the oneness, I create for myself an experience of freedom here in this very moment. I take this freedom and I bask in this freedom. I freely experience the freedom from all aches, from all pain, from all worry, from all fear, from all that does not align with the wonderful, magnificent universe. This thought of freedom created here and now gives me the experience of freedom. It is this wonderful knowing of the universe and its goodness and its greatness and its freedom that I am thankful for. And so it is. So now we will go to our special music. Thank you.
It's burning inside, the hurting and the suffering minds, creating anger, fear and pain, suffocating our times. The tougher it gets, the rougher social media cries. But we see to it that we tweeting only negative lines. We're sick and tired of history, but repeating it twice. Greed, anger and violence, clearly stealing our nights. Feeling it tight between the shoulders with a chill in the spine. Pinching myself, waking up, trying to stop the rewind and move forward towards stories, overcoming our fears. Choosing love over hate, praying, trading hugs over tears. There's only one choice, breaking down the walls and repair every broken heart on this planet till there's no longer fear.
Walls can't hold us in. Fear can't keep us down. Love will rise again. Yet it's rising right now.
We shall overcome.
Every time I think it's gonna take much longer.
We shall.
Every time I question, am I getting stronger?
We have just begun.
Gonna make a change, we gotta push much farther.
We shall overcome.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
Young Gandhi couldn't fathom how to deal with himself when he was thrown off the train and the pain that he felt. Mrs. Parks disrespected, dragged into jail because of the color of his skin, organs, tissues, and cells. One day, a young girl was shot on a bus by a man, a terrorist, part of the Taliban. He said, on this land, you have no right to stand for what you believe in. Girls have no chance here. Well, now, that's just the story of three souls who shook our planet after being down on their knees. And it's not gonna stop. Those seeds have now become trees, and as human beings, we'll keep on digging till we find peace.
Yeah, the cynics always say that nothing ever changes. The human nature's bound to stay the same. But it couldn't be more plain that violence never pains. Injustice never stays. It's bound to fade away. What if history awaits? What if today is the day? So let's all lead the way.
We shall overcome.
Every time I think it's gonna take much longer.
We shall overcome.
Every time I question, am I getting stronger?
We have just begun.
Gonna push much farther.
We shall overcome.
We shall overcome. Come on.
Here we go. Woo! I knew it. God had a plan for us to do it. To hit rock bottom before we rise and continue. To first learn greed before we learn to be human. To do wrong deeds before we learn to spread beauty. There's always a plan, and now it's time to take a stand for the right of the planet, every woman and man. We ain't gonna stop, only growing our demand for all beings to feel peace in every heart and land. Thank you, Lord, for the strength and the courage to bring us together and keep our souls nourished. These tough times will only drown in our chorus, cause we all believe that the truth is before us. We shall overcome this pain. We shall overcome this day. We pray for love to lead the way.
Wow. Deep breath. That song always brings me to tears. Tears of joy, tears of sorrow, tears of wow. We've come a long way and we got a long way to go. As it says, we're just getting started. We can overcome. We shall overcome. We can overcome. Because we have within us everything needed to do that. And it has to start inside. Doesn't mean we aren't going to be out there in the streets at times when it's necessary and when it's called on and when it's required to make political change and other changes. But it's got to start with our faith. If we are marching against something rather than for something, then we're defeating our own purpose. So as we go into this tonight, today, talking about freedom, I have about 15, 20 minutes, but I wanted to use that song because it sends home so clearly what we're about in this teaching and what we are about in life. You know, it is the very nature of God itself. This is a direct quote from Ernest Holmes. It is the nature of God, then, is not one of limitation or bondage. It is one of freedom. It is one of freedom. So any appearance even of bondage or limitation is an appearance that can indeed be overcome, because the Spirit of God as it is within each of us is going to come forward and can come forward if we call upon it and if we dive into our own consciousness in a way that is meaningful and powerful, and that allows us to step personally into freedom, and then we're able to share that with the larger world. Because every time one person finds greater freedom in your life, whether it's freedom from debt, whether it's freedom from oppression, whether it's freedom from a relationship, whether it's freedom from any kind of thing happening, then you're adding to the cumulative effect of freedom in the world. And we embrace that with the idea that it's freedom for us and others at the same time. Saw some great people greeting us up there online from various places, from California, from Philadelphia, from here, from around. And it always brings great memories when I see these people that I recognize and that I know. You know, they are all people who had a part in helping me learn and find my own freedom. From the wisdom of Jim Moore, he just sit me down and tell me the truth when nobody else would, in a rich and wonderful way. And I'm grateful for all those people who chipped away at those inner bondages that I had in order to allow me to be even more open and open, to be free to be myself, to be free to express the goodness that God is as me, in me, through me, by me. One of the challenges here in speaking with this crowd and this group is that we are a mature audience, not just in age, because we got some folks in age who are part of us that aren't that mature in age, haven't been around the sun as long as many times as the rest of us. But we do have also, but they are still very mature in spiritual life. And I usually try to design the talk so that we speak to all places where people are in their spiritual path. And I want to be really specific about that today, because I want to tell you that spiritual growth does go through phases. And what freedom means, I love what Barbara said, it means different things to different people. It also means different things to those of us in various phases and stages of our spiritual growth, whether it's the maturity or at the very beginning. So there are basically four worlds of spirituality, of consciousness. The first world is the world that so many people know, but that have never yet gotten in touch with the spirituality, which is that world of victimhood, that world that believes that everything is done to us. We live our lives based on the patterns that have come to us, and therefore we live them out. You go be the grown-up doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, mechanic, whatever, that your parents did, because that's what you know, and that's the loop you're aware of. Or it's done to you by the kind of relationship that you feel like you must put yourself into, whether it fits you or not. By the kind of gender identity that seems not to fit, but yet at the same time you feel victimized by a demanding world that says you got to be this or that or the other. That first world is a world where life is done to us. You know, feedback loops are interesting. Feedback loops are those things which give us feedback about what we're doing and how we're doing it. One of my feedback loops I sometimes get caught in is that I find great joy in chocolate. Chocolate makes my heart sing. Tasting it, smelling it, eating it. I heard there's a chocolate factory in Pennsylvania that blew up a couple of days ago. And wow, I mean, that's just wrong. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. And I think there may have been lives lost. I'm not joking about that. But just the idea that, you know, chocolate is necessary. And so all I have to do is smell it. And then I want to reach for it. So I don't keep it handy, because if I do, I'll reach for it. And if I eat much chocolate, especially the kind with sugar in it, I'll pay for it. I'll know it. I mean, my body will say, that's deaf already. Shouldn't have done that. But that feedback loop kicks in, and I'm like, got to have chocolate. My body's screaming for chocolate until I eat it. And then it's going, no, but not the sugar. Have you ever had chocolate without sugar? Not the same thing. So questionable, sure. So those feedback loops are what people get caught in, whether it's an addictive feedback loop for chocolate or any of the other thousands of addictions that are out there, or a feedback loop of illness that says, my mom had this, my dad had this, I have this genetic precondition for it, so I'm going to have it. And we have the images that we grow up with seeing people ill, and so that becomes a normal for us, and that feedback loop keeps telling us, stay stuck, stay stuck. Well, here's the thing. Freedom in that consciousness, that level, that world, rather, it's not really a level, because all the worlds are happening within us all the time, but that first world one, the freedom in that one is the freedom to choose, and to choose things that will break up those feedback loops, that will allow us to do something different. The rebel who leaves home and does their thing. The rebel who stays home and does their thing in spite of everybody's opinions that they should do something different. The rebel who chooses their own way. You know, those feedback loops are can be broken and broken apart. And freedom is about breaking those up. Freedom is about taking a minute and listening and thinking within you and deciding, is this real and true for me? And sometimes we have to hear it somewhere else to even know that it makes a difference. So many people come to this teaching in that kind of pain of knowing that there must be something better, but they don't know what it is yet. And they come here and they start to learn these principles. And as they do, they begin to discover something that the master teacher taught us. And that is, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the truth doesn't create freedom, but it allows us to tap into the freedom that's already within us. Because freedom is a given, because it is the very nature of spirit and God to be free, to express itself in all kinds of ways without really being stuck in any pattern. I mean, think about it. There are all kinds of patterns for animals and people and planets and worlds. All you got to do is look at some of those really funny animals and in places that were more isolated, like the duck-billed platypus, to know that the patterns are broken. It's a duck, kind of, but it isn't. So, you know, all these things that happen and come up for us, it's just to show and to let. And what I'm trying to say is, within each of us is the ability to become whatever we choose. And the truth that God is freedom, we begin to get and to understand. Which takes me to that second world. And that's the world where a great deal of what science of mind, the way it's typically taught, is really all about. And other teachings like us. This is where I am what I am becoming. We get this idea. I remember the first time I came to the Science of Mind Center and I heard all about treatment and prayer. And so I wrote one based on a little booklet I picked up by Raymond Charles Barker, How to Do a Spiritual Mind Treatment. Wrote a treatment for sinus troubles, which I had had all my life. And I started doing it every day, every morning, repeating it every night before I went to bed. And sure enough, in a short time, I was done with the sinus problems that I had had my whole life. That's when I said, okay, I got to go back and find out more about this thing. And then we learn how to manifest all sorts of things, to bring into our lives those things which we imagine. I had grown up looking at the encyclopedia when I was really young. That was our big book, World Book Encyclopedias. And most of the pictures in it were black and white, but occasionally there would be a color picture. And one of the color pictures was a color picture, that standard picture that everybody sees of Machu Picchu. And I saw it, and it was beautiful, and it was in color, and I saw it, and I saw it, and it was imprinted in my mind, and I said to myself, one day I'm going there. And sure enough, a while after being in this teaching, I manifested a trip to Machu Picchu when I wasn't making a whole lot of money. But I managed to do it, and all the money came for me to do that. And I created the supply to bring that forward and let it happen. Because I was learning how to create and how to manifest and how to attract to me those things in my life. You know, I'm looking at my world, my inner world, my outer world, and saying, who am I and what do I want to become? That's where we do the dream boards. That's where we do the vision boards. That's where we do affirmations and prayers. And they're wonderful and they work. We see change, lots of change. It's pretty, pretty awesome. And then, you know, something else happens. Something else happens along the way. We find ourselves doing that, becoming habitual. All of a sudden, life just starts to be that. Things start showing up for us because we have that consciousness. We have that idea that now firmly implanted in us that I am an expression that Spirit is doing through me, maybe, but it's more about being done by me that I'm creating this life. And then it seems to slow down, almost like it's not working as well anymore. And you go, what's up? And some people will go back and really try to boost up those vision boards and all those things to do to get life to manifest in a different way and yet not seeming to feel right about it. And that's when we kind of drop into that third world. The third world is a world of, it's a world where we become aware of the larger, the larger mystical or archetypal lives that we have, where we begin to see ourselves as being typical of this or that or the other. So we learn about the hero's journey. We're all heroes. And we live that journey, and that journey requires us to participate with other people. The hero's journey is not a solitary trip. It's a trip with lots of other people. And that's also where we discover there are other kinds of journeys, not just the hero's journey. There's the shamanic journey. There's our journeys of the mystics, the mystical journeys. There's the journey of the artists. The artist has a whole different kind of journey than that more linear hero's journey. And these kinds of things start to manifest within us, and we start to discover them within us, and we discover that we can't quite get to them by ourselves. That second world is a world where we are operating largely in our own minds, in our own direction, in our own focus. It's why we're often accused of being a narcissistic teaching that doesn't talk about love enough. Well, we talk about love all the time. Love of self, love of others, love of God, love of life. And it's in this third world where that begins to really take off and show up. You know, it's where we begin to harness the power of the collective patterns. I remember when I first heard my daughter say something about being an artist and kind of having an artistic kind of world. Now, she's not a painter. She doesn't paint things. She draws things. She creates things all the time. And now she's a school teacher where she can do that and get paid for it by participating with kids and creating all kinds of crafts and things that they do all the time. But it was acknowledging that set her free in a way to really stand in that truth. And that was a bigger truth than just herself. Was a bigger truth that other people could understand and relate to. Those who were expecting linear, direct, one direction thinking aren't going to get that from her. And once she identifies with that collective artist concept, then she had greater power and greater freedom to do what she wanted to do and to live her life the way that she understood it. In that third world, we are not alone anymore. This is where it becomes really important to have a prayer partner, to be in prayer groups, to connect with other people who will tell you the truth, to be in relationships where other people can support you and participate with you, to be on the journey with you, perhaps to walk with you a while, as you move through your spiritual living. Now, I'm not saying any one of these three is isolated from the other two, but or that we stay in one or the other. But we do flow back and forth. And freedom in this world means freedom to choose who and what we are. It means we are recognizing that we live in a spiritual universe, and therefore we are not alone and cannot be alone. And every time I do a spiritual mind treatment for myself, I'm really doing it for myself and anyone else like me. Anyone else with the same issues. Anyone else who is open to receiving the ideas that are being brought forward. Because we're all connected in consciousness. So if I declare greater freedom for myself, I'm declaring greater freedom for you, and you, and you, and all of us here. A freedom to live, a freedom to joy, a freedom to do those things and be those things we wish to be. See, and freedom in that respect really starts to take off. Because suddenly, friends and others around us are supporting us in our choices as we are choosing freedom. This is also where we start to really nail down the idea that that freedom is a given. It's not something you earn. It's not something you make happen. It's not something that comes from anyone else. It is the very nature of who we are individually and collectively. Yeah. That's why we come together in groups the way we do, to rally around and support each other's freedom, those with whom we agree. We're in a place in the world now where those who disagree often turn that into my freedom I must have at your expense. But the true freedom of spirit within us doesn't cost anybody else anything except adding to their own freedom. And that's the missing link. That's the missing piece today that we keep bridging. And we bridge it with the most powerful power in the world, which is love. See, I am free to love you even if you hate me. And I know it's hard to believe, but there are some people in the world that do. But that's okay. I hope you become enlightened sometime and find out I'm not so bad. But in the meantime, I am free to love you no matter what. And I will, and I do. And when I don't, then there's where my work lies. When I see the other and I name them as being the other and not part of the oneness, then they become over there and I'm over here. And the way to freedom in that is the freedom to love. Because that love is also part of the nature of God. And that nature of God comes from within me and flows out to you through me. And from you to me and through me. It's a great circulation. And it's rich and it's wonderful. There's a fourth world. And that's the world that's where spirit, God, life is flowing as us. The first one is done to us. Spirit life is done to us. Second world is the world where it is done by us. The third world is where it's done through us. And the fourth world is where it's done as us. We all have those flashes, those moments, and maybe some of you live in it longer than I do, but I get flashes where I walk through the day knowing I am the center of life, not at your expense, but so that I can bring greater joy and greater freedom and greater life to everyone just by being here alive on the planet. That God itself is showing up as me. And I speak my word in those moments and those times, and things happen immediately. Healings happen. Again, I don't live there because I got too much going on in the outside world telling me the opposite of that is true. That all of us are different and strange, and God is out there and we're down here and all that kind of nonsense about space. When the infinite knows no space, it is fills all space. In fact, all space is within it because it's infinite. It's all there is. So those moments are gifts, and they come. Sometimes they're called cosmic consciousness, where someone steps into a moment of cosmic consciousness. Ernest Holmes had one of those in the middle of a talk. He was talking about the spirit was here, and it gets, there's a greater reach out there and out there and out there, and then suddenly he just paused for about 5 minutes and stared into the of heavens above him. And he wouldn't talk about it at the time, but he left a letter for after his death to say that was a moment where he became the whole universe. And I have a friend who had that experience too. He's no longer with us on the planet, but where he stepped into a creek one day, and he said he had been meditating and reading all this stuff, and was feeling very, very enlightened and in a great mood of high consciousness. So he stepped into the creek as he was going to wade across it. And when he stepped in, he noticed everything around him sort of became alive and looked like energy instead of forms. And he just stood there and watched these energy forms all around him. And it was like, holy Moses. And he stood there for a moment, just a moment, and walked on across the creek, looked at his watch, and it had been 4 hours. Total transformation in time and space. Wonderful practitioner. Used to be around, used to be part of this center and some others. So those kinds of experiences are those flashes where we step into that fourth world, or when that fourth world steps into us so clearly. You don't get to one without the other, and being in one doesn't mean you can't also be in the other. I can dive into victimhood in a heartbeat. Especially when I can't have chocolate, you know? Things happen to us and we feel victimized by them, and we're right back in world one. And we know how to get out of that because we've already traveled into two and three and sometimes four. So freedom is about finding the expression of your freedom to be in all of those worlds when you choose, and to live a life that is unknown in common conversation or times, as Thoreau said. And I'll leave you with one last idea. Freedom only comes into play, only exists in reality of your day-to-day life when you exercise it. And choose it and use it. Freedom is not a noun, it's a verb. It's a verb that we live and that we use and we take forward. Because we can. Because we are here for that reason. To be free, to love, to create with joy and ease. Because you're wonderful, so am I. So it is. Thank you. Now we're going to hear from Vance, who is our treasurer and our sound guy and our schlepper and 1,000 other jobs, which this center would not function very well without him and without him doing this. And I'm so grateful for him. So here you go, Vance Blue.
Thanks, Dr. Bob.
Yep.
Freedom. It's an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. We get to choose. That's the nice thing about that. So in our idea of prosperity, we have prosperous center and prosperous being and prosperous number of people watching us. So welcome. And if you haven't already, follow the YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, spread the message so we get more people. We would love that. And because like this message this morning needs to reach more people. So here we are. And you can donate at cslmidtown.org. There's a QR code that'll pop up. It's up there. And you can use that to go right to the donation site and give one time or set up an ongoing donation, however you want to work with that. So if you would say with me our affirmation of prosperity, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Back to Dr. Bob. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ah, so this week is our last week of Prosperity Plus. It's been a wonderful course. We have done it now for 10 weeks. We have, those of us who have been doing it have been finding a definite increase in our prosperity consciousness and our income. So as this wraps up, we are deciding what to do next, and we've got a couple of things on the agenda. We will be announcing, hopefully by next week, what that will be. But one of the considerations is Prosperity Plus 3, which is the follow-up to Prosperity Plus 2, but does not require Prosperity 2 in order to take it. So if any one of you out there listening is interested, send an email, send a text, send a word that says, hey, I want to try that. It's a rich and wonderful course. I encourage you to consider it. I want to add one thing to what we've been saying about liking us on all these different social media apps and places. We are live on all of them. And what I want to add is, if you don't like us, send me an email and tell me why not. You know, don't tell the world, tell me. Because I'd love to talk with you about what it is about us that you don't like, if there's something you don't like. I mean, usually we say, send it to me and I'll throw it in the trash can. But I'm saying I'd like to dialogue about that, because I have found sometime that myself, coming into this teaching the first day or two, I didn't like it at all. So I invite you to let me know. But if you like it, share it, talk about it, spread it, and let people know this is where, and support it. This is where they can hear solid, focused truth. So, that being said, let's join in our closing, and our closing is our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give this thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you.